I highlighted yesterday, and I'll emphasize again, is just finally getting a taste of what the offensive line is looking with the first team to start. That doesn't mean it's going to be the offensive line that's going to ultimately be on the field for week one, but we're certainly seeing where the offensive line is picking up with Marshall Newhouse and John Jerry as the two main guys on the right side. And then also what's interesting, another position to note is the safety position, John, since there's so many young guys and a number of players returning from injury, you know, who's going to get first team reps? And right now we're seeing Landon Collins and Matt Burhey seems to be the first guy up, but Darian Thompson has been thrown in the slot, which has been interesting. That at least we saw a lot yesterday. So, you know, they're going to keep mixing and matching, but it's always nice to see at least who's in the driver's seat to begin with.
Here are some notes that I made from practice. Bobby Hart at right tackle with the twos. That's kind of been where he's at in terms of, you know, people considered guard or tackle for him, but for now he's been a tackle. Andre Williams, to yesterday and today, both showed pretty good hands on some catches, something he's been working on and was a weakness of his when he came into the league. It was good to see him improving there. Owa, I've seen at both right end and at left end. They've moved them to both sides. I've seen Kerry Wynn get moved in to defensive tackle and have be outside at end. I've seen Owa do both as well. Nickel situations, I've seen Kelvin Shepard get a lot of run at linebacker with the ones. I thought that was interesting. Maybe they think he, with his speed, he could be a good coverage guy. You mentioned the safeties. The number one corners have been Jenkins, and of course yesterday with DRC not being there, Eli Apple is out there. Trevin Wade has been the nickel guy in those number one situations, which again is not a surprise. Jeremy Davis made some nice catches yesterday in practice,
yeah,
which I think is good to see.
Will Ty had a nice grab today, by the way, in the end zone on a goal line run.
He did. Miles White almost had a great catch in the sideline. I don't think he got a second foot down. Goodson, B.J. Goodson, I thought showed some good quick feet in some of the linebacker drills. He's a little bit more spry and quick and more athletic than maybe I thought coming out of Clemson, so I've liked that. And by the way, it looks like we're going to have Clemson's head coach, right?
Or defensive coordinator.
Defensive coordinator.
Slash linebackers coach tomorrow.
Correct. Yeah, we'll have that tomorrow with Lance. Yeah, that'll be good. And Adam Geddes getting some run at center as well as the backup center is something else that I picked up on over the course of the couple days. So that's what we'll talk about. And also our question today, folks, is going to be what 2015 draft pick or rookie, so any second-year player, are you most excited about seeing, think will take the biggest jump, can be the biggest X factor this year? Give us a call. Let us know what you think at 201-939-4513. If you're watching on Twitter, go to Giants.com where we continue the conversation right now. On Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. And Lance, if we take a look at last year's draft class first and foremost, and we'll talk about the undrafted free agents as well, but let's talk about the draft class. The first two picks were guys that got plenty of playing time last year, and Landon Collins and Eric Flowers. They played an awful lot. They both started, I believe, all 16 games, if I'm not
Flowers
mistaken.
Flowers missed one.
That's right. Flowers missed the one with the injury.
Yeah,
that's
Collins played all 16.
Both started every game. They were healthy enough to play it. Let me put it that way. And they both got a lot of experience, but at the same time, I think you want to see both those guys take the next step. And playing time is great, but more effective playing time while they're on the field.
Well, I think the good news is, you know, they now have a taste of the speed of the game, which is obviously important for any rookie coming in year number one, specifically a guy that plays left tackle. And, you know, he's now had a full season where he knows what it's like to play next to Justin Pugh. And he knows what it's like to interact with Weston Richburg, who's going to be the center. The left side, there's been continuity there, John. I think that's important compared to where there's been a little bit more movement on the right side. As far as Landon Collins is concerned, you'd love to get any rookie out there for all 16 games and start all 16, because then you're coming into year two as a legitimate, polished, veteran type of player. The only challenge, I think, for Landon Collins, though, on the flip side, is he's got to potentially start all over again, John, in building chemistry with the safety that's going to be next to him, because obviously a number of players that played next to him are no longer with the team.
That's true, but, you know, he has to care about his business first.
Without a doubt.
He has to make sure that he does simple physical things like take the right angle to the football, play the ball in the air better, make catches that balls that hit him in the hands, you know, things like that, which is beyond chemistry, where it's just little things in your second year more comfortable.
Those are instincts.
As you said, things slow down a little bit, and you could play some better football, especially in coverage for Landon Collins. As for Flowers, Again, you like his strength. You like his scrappiness. He showed a lot of heart last year playing through a high ankle sprain for much of the year. He's a tough kid. No one will debate that. But I think what you're looking for him in year number two is him improving his technique. And that's something that they talked about last year. Ben McAdoo talked about in the offseason where you want him to be a little bit better in terms of using his hands, moving his feet, and just being more fundamentally sound, which should limit some of the mistakes that hurt him last year.
In terms of penalties or being a step behind in terms of the defensive lineman that you're going up against. I mean, that's all understandable for a rookie, and clearly that's going to come with also more and more practice time, which is important too. I mean, you can't necessarily overlook that. We emphasize game experience, but how do you learn technique, John? You do that every day with continuity and practice, and that's going to be a key for this offseason. From now in OTAs to training camp, for Flowers to get in a groove so that it becomes second nature once you get into the regular season.
Now, the Giants did not have a fourth round pick last year, and they really didn't get a whole lot out of the rest of their draft class, simply either because of injury, in the case of Omambabe Odighizuwa and Michael Thompson, then sixth-round pick Jeremy Davis and seventh-round pick Bobby Hart. As is typical for guys picked in the sixth and seventh round, it was a developmental year for them. Bobby Hart got the start in one game against the Jets because of injury, and Jeremy Davis played sparingly throughout the year.
Played in 10 games, mostly special teams in terms of his notations.
Let's start with the two guys that were hurt first, Odighizuwa and Thompson, their third and fifth round picks, respectfully. I think there's a lot of high hopes for Odighizuwa because he was a guy that a lot of teams thought it, you know, end the first round, start of second round talent last year. He had hip stuff early on, leg stuff, and then he had hamstring issue over the course of the year. He's over it now. I did an interview with him the other day. He's very excited to get out there. He feels 100% healthy. He completely dismissed that his hip issue is an issue. He said it's nothing. They're fine. There's nothing to worry about. He was very clear on that. I didn't even ask him about it. He brought it up on his own. So he wants to make that very clear, and I think you hope that he can give you some type of spark as a run stopper and a pass rusher.
Yeah, versatile guy. And you noted, you know, from watching practice, what we've both at least seen is they have been moving him inside and outside. And that was one of the things I talked about in the offseason, John. And I think it was on a show when I did with Paul. And Paul at the time didn't feel as if maybe 00 had the skill set to be moved inside. But I think Spags sees a lot of potential in a lot of his pass rushers that if he could get four guys on the field at the same time, and we saw that in his first stint as defensive coordinator, he's going to try to maximize that. So that doesn't surprise me any bit that we're seeing more and more of Kerry Wynn and 00 on the inside, because there's going to be pass down situations where if you're Spags, you want four pass rushers on the football field, then 00 and Kerry Wynn give you that.
And remember, he wasn't a big time pass rusher in college. He didn't get a lot of sacks. The way they used him at UCLA didn't give him the opportunity to rush the passer a lot. So that's a skill that he's trying to develop. And when I had that interview with him, I think that's going up tomorrow, right, Dave? The Odighizuwa interview on Giants.com? I think that's going up on Wednesday. And he said, look, my mission number one is I want to get the quarterback. I want my sacks. And he said, that's my big focus, to become a better pass rusher. So I think the Giants hope that he can make steps in that area.
Well, but at the same time, I think any coach would tell you, John, if you're consistent against the run, you have a better chance of staying on the field in more down situations. So if he shows consistency in stopping the run, that's only going to impact his ability to play more and more snaps.
And you have Michael Thompson. Don't have a great feel for him. He was more of a rangy coverage type safety. That was a scouting report coming out of Texas. Popped his Achilles second week of training camp, I want to say,
something like that.
So he really doesn't have a lot of experience. He's doing everything, though. He's out there. He's practicing. He's on the field. He's with the second or 13, depending on what session you're watching. So he's a guy the Giants hope can compete with Darian Thompson, with Burhe, and those other guys, and Bennett Jackson, for that coverage safety spot.
And also, I wouldn't rule him out for, like, a slot corner position, too. I think he's got the flexibility to do that. As I mentioned, I saw Darian Thompson lined up against Sterling Shepard in the slot a few times yesterday from what I saw. And then, you know, Bennett Jackson, I think, is an issue in that slot, too. You have a little interchangeable part type of scenario with some of these corners and safeties.
And Jackson played corner in college, so it makes sense he'll be able to do it. I don't believe Thompson or the other Thompson played
the two Thompsons
cornerback.
No, not that I know of.
Correct.
But Michael, I think based on his makeup, I could see him, though, moving into the slot.
And Thompson's known as a coverage guy, too. So you wonder if they can do it. And sometimes safeties do it to cover man-on-man if you blitz and things like that. It's just something you have to
do. Or if they line up, you know, four wide receivers.
And then very quickly, I want to get to your calls. We got four full lines. I want to hit on the other two guys from last year real fast. Jeremy Davis, got to get better on special teams. Eli raved about his knowledge of the offense yesterday at his media availability. How, you know, you can line him up anywhere. He knows the playbook. He's studious. You can put him wherever you want. You know where he's going to be. But now he has to fine-tune, getting separation, being a better receiver, being more consistent on special teams. And that's what's going to get him onto the field.
Well, and the other thing that I think is important to note, John, from at least our observations over the first 2 days, with Victor Cruz sidelined, Davis has been with the ones a few times.
Yes.
This is an opportunity for him, and this is where I talk about the, if there's any positive that Victor Cruz is not on the field, number one, it gives Eli Manning an opportunity to build chemistry with some of the wide receivers who haven't gotten much playing time in the past. That's number one. Number two, it gives the wide receiver, like a Jeremy Davis, an opportunity to make a statement to say, hey, you line me up here, I'm going to make plays for you. So yeah. This is a huge offseason period for the second-year wide receiver.
And then finally, Bobby Hart. I feel like people are getting a little bit ahead of themselves. I like Bobby Hart. I think he has a bright future, but he only started in one game last year. He had very limited playing time, and I feel like people are jumping the gun trying to slide him in at that starting right tackle spot. Let's see what he does in practice, and let's see him, you know, grow, clean up some of the stuff he was bad at last year. You know, guys without a lot of experience get penalties. They make mental mistakes. That gets the quarterback killed. I want to see him earn that spot. And they're not just going to take it away from Newhouse and say, we think Bobby Hart has promised. We're going to roll him out there, see what happens. No, that's how you get Eli Manning hurt. So he's going to have to show in the OTAs, in minicamp, in training camp, that he's good enough to play there. And I think this is a prove-it time for Bobby Hart, who's a seventh-round pick, take some time for those guys to develop. Let's see what he can do.
Well, you mentioned that he's mainly been working with the second team.
That's
yesterday,
tackle.
Though, they did change Newhouse and Hart a few times. Hart did get first-team reps. So, as you mentioned, John, it's going to be a battle. And they're going to give both of these players a taste of what it's like to play on that right side. And, you know, as I always say, let the best man win. But, you know, it was good that Hart had some experience last year. It's not as if he hasn't gotten any game action yet. But, you know, you got to see how the fundamentals play out. And you need to see, you know, on the film, and Ben McAdoo says this, you know, every day after OTA practice, they go back and then they review the tape because, you know, the coaches can't necessarily pick up on everything during the full speed and motion of the practice. So they're going to go back later tonight. They're going to look at what they saw during practice, and then they're going to take notes, and they're going to determine, you know, in terms of the fundamentals, who stands out. You know, those are the ways you also see whether or not a player can improve.
Now, in terms of undrafted guys, you have Will Tye, Nikita Whitlock. There was one other undrafted guy that I had made note of that I wanted to bring up. Brad Barrs is back, and Brett Jones, the offensive lineman. So those are some of the guys that you keep an eye on. We know about Will Tye's numbers last year, become a better blocker. That's what we're trying to keep an eye on with him. So keep an eye on those undrafted guys as well and see what they can do, whether or not Nikita Whitlock can beat out Will Johnson for that fullback position. Then they can use him in spot duty, a tackle to rush the passer. But I don't think he's going to be able to make this team just as a pass rusher. He's going to have to give it to you somewhere else too. But he is a great special teams player, which will help him.
There are other facets of the team that he can contribute, and it's interesting you brought that up, John. We had been talking about that on the last few shows. At least I had given an inkling. If you want to try to keep two fullbacks, the way you sell it is, the way you sell it, though, I'm just saying hypothetically, is Whitlock can at least give you more.
I think you sell that Will Johnson's also your third tight end.
Correct. I think there's more versatility on offense that Johnson gives you, but if you feel Whitlock has value on defense, maybe you find a way. But the point I was going to get to was McAdoo was asked about that yesterday. He is not giving away any secrets or any tricks of the trade. He was specifically asked, are you going to start using Whitlock during OTAs on defense? And he said, that's not something I'm willing to give to the media right now.
And Ben McAdoo will give you good answers to questions, but when it comes to player deployment and strategy and things that could tip off to opponents, you ain't getting squat.
And play calling, too, we should say. Those two things. He's not telling you anything.
Anything that gave an advantage to an opponent, he's not going to talk about. All right, here we go. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. Get on the phones. Get on Twitter. Let's talk some Giants football. Carl in Syracuse will lead us off. Carl, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great, Carl. What's going on?
Not much. Hey, you guys made a lot of great points already.
Appreciate
about,
that.
About the question of the day.
What do you got?
Put a positive perspective on it. I'd like to see more of Landon Collins making blockers miss and blowing up running backs in the backfield.
Well, unfortunately, you're not going to see anybody getting blown up in spring practice because that just doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
They want to make sure everybody stays healthy, Carl, before we get to training camp.
No, I'm talking about in the game.
In the game,
but,
of course. Yeah.
Definitely the unknown commodities I'd like to see more of, like the double O and you know, the wide receiver there we just talked about.
Jeremy Davis.
Yeah, it was nice to see him get some nice catches yesterday, and that he's getting getting some good reps in.
Well, we talk about this all the time. I mean, the depth chart is so important, Carl, and obviously you know that from following the Giants. And I always say you never know who's going to go down. You never know when you want to line up an extra wide receiver. And the whole point is to get value out of those late-round draft picks. And Davis coming out of UConn, you know, showed some versatility last season. Didn't have a great deal of opportunity on the field because there were a few more guys in front of him on the depth chart. But, you know, this is an offseason period where I still think he can, you know, show what he can offer this team in other areas than just special teams.
Yeah, being in from Syracuse, I've gotten the opportunity to see him play against Syracuse and shred up our defense a couple times.
So you know firsthand then of what he's capable of doing. The question
Absolutely.
Is, can he translate that obviously to the NFL? That's the big thing right now.
Right. I want to make a comment on a little video clip I saw of Harrison. I think it might have been from today. Man, he's got some good punch when he's hitting that sled there.
He's a strong man.
Oh yeah,
he's a big, strong man.
Wow, it would not want to be the offensive lineman across from him.
Well,
so I'm excited about that.
It's
for
interesting
sure.
You bring that up, Carl, because you know the flip side is you talked about how strong Damon Harrison is, but think about the offensive line having to go up against a player like that every single day in practice. It's only going to help the offensive line get better as well.
Absolutely.
All right, Carl.
Thanks, Carl. Appreciate
the phone call. Thanks so
All
much
right,
for
love the
in.
Show. Thanks.
You got
Thank
it.
You, man.
Appreciate that.
201-939-4513. Joe in Pennsylvania. He's up next. How are you, Joe?
Hey, wonderful.
Long time no speak, buddy.
No, I spoke to you last week here or so.
Yeah, but, Joe was extremely optimistic, by the way.
Oh, really?
I'm just going to warn you, John. I'm very excited to see what Joe has in store for us today.
What do
you got,
Joe? Bring
last
it.
Year, I think he ripped the roof off of social media. That's how sparkly his commentary
yeah.
was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I am excited, like I said, just not who's going to step forward. The mixture, the second-year guys, the way Flowers was last year for a rookie. You know, for a rookie, you know what I mean? He showed so much emotion and spirit, you know, getting the players together and that. So just think what he's going to do this year, you know what I mean, stepping forward. And all these, the rookies plus the second, the third-year guys, there's so much, there's a competition that I love, like with the running backs, the linebackers, the receivers. That they're not just, you know, fighting for starting. A lot of them in the safeties like that are just to make the team. That's my statement there.
Hey, Joe, I agree. And you know what? We talked about the players, Joe, and I don't think either one of us, Lance, gave our answer who we think the biggest jump is going to be. I think it's going to be Flowers. I agree with you. I think coming out of college, we knew he had a little bit to learn. He was a little bit raw in terms of technique. A full season and an off season with the Giants, learning all that stuff, not having to worry about draft preparation, getting ready for the combine, all that nonsense. I think this is a ripe situation for him to make the biggest jump.
There's so many of them, like 00, I can't say his name right. He may come forward, you know, any of these guys, you know, Burhey or any of these guys could really come through and shine. What's the speed of Jeremy Davis? Do you know in 40 what his speed was?
I think Jeremy Davis ran in the high 4.5s or low 4.6s.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
Well. He looks like he could be a strong possession receiver there, too. And I was looking at Dwayne Harris. You know, I see they have him in the slot. If he makes
he
the
ran
step
a,
from,
I don't mean to cut you off, Joe. He ran a 4.47 at his pro day last year. That's what Jeremy Davis ran.
That was pro day. What was he at his pro day? Did he have a combine one or no?
Let me see if I can get his combine one.
I was just the combine numbers more because, you know, the combine number, everyone's running on the same field. It's all the same conditions. He might not have worked out at the combine, though. I'm not sure.
Well, this one they're listing here, a 4.49. So I don't know where that was from. 4.47 was the pro day. 4.49 could have been from the combine. But, I mean, we're talking about within that same ballpark.
Yeah, that's pretty good, decent speed. And I'd love to see him come forward, him or somebody, just do what Randall did last year. That would be great. And now I'm looking at Dwayne Harris. You look at what the step he made up from just being a specialty guy to that last year playing, you know what I mean, the slot somewhat and that. If he makes a step up like he did last year, you know, we better have somebody to give him some breaks on punt returns and kickoff returns, you know. And now one thing I want to bring up here,
yeah.
It's with the defensive line and Harrison, great, that's great. But I'm looking back here a couple years ago. Is this showing now that the re-signing of Lindell Joseph was a mistake. What do you think about that? That we should have signed him. I seen in the top 100 on NFL, they have him around 75, so he's close to Pro Bowl. I mean, we can't let and look how bad our defense was. How do we let Pro Bowl players go?
Hey, look, Joe, honestly,
I remember that year there was a lot of players we wanted to sign, and I guess I know they said Hanking is stepping up. I understand that, but looking back at it now, it may have been a mistake. Really, because how can we leave Pro Bowl players go?
Well, Joe, Joe, let me answer
you. And what about with Hanking?
Joe, I want to answer your Linval Joseph point first. Okay? I think this is a big year for Hankins to determine whether or not it was a mistake. I think right now, and again,
yes,
at the time,
but
Joe, let me finish. Let me finish, please. You asked a question. Let me answer it. I think at the time, I was one of the people that said I was willing to let Linval Joseph go because you had Hankins to come in and step in. I don't feel as good about that decision today and that opinion today than I did then, because I think Linval Joseph has improved since he left, and I do think that right now he is a top-tier defensive tackle. Maybe Hankins will make people forget that this year. We'll see. But that's on Jonathan Hankins to step up his play. You know, last year he didn't have any sacks before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. You need more from him in that. So I think right now you can go back and say, based on what Hankins gave you last year and he got hurt and all that stuff, yeah, you would have liked to have Linval Joseph. But it would have cost you a lot of money. So that's something.
Look, we just paid for Smack,
yep,
or whatever. His name is Harrison. You know what I mean? Is he as good? I don't know. I know he's a great run stopper. I know Lindell Joseph could penetrate with the sacks too. And when does Hankins' contract runs out? That's what I'm wondering. Is it going to come down to between paying him or JPP on the team?
This is Hankins' fourth year, so this would be the final years of Hankins' contract, right?
Yeah, so next year it's going to come down to him or JPP,
not necessarily. They could perhaps afford both of them. I wouldn't make that assumption, Joe.
Remember, Joe,
they did it with Lindell Joseph. I guess we didn't have the money. Why didn't we keep him? He would have been great to stay there with Hankins, and now he signed Smacks. See what I'm saying?
Well, Joe, that's because 2 years ago the Giants were up against the salary cap. This year the Giants, even as of now, are $20 million under, and they're going to be able to carry that money into the next year. So you might have a little bit more financial flexibility. That being said, are you going to be able to pay top dollar for four defensive linemen on the same roster? That's very hard to do.
That's what I'm coming down to. And I was just trying to recall who we signed that year when we didn't sign Joseph. We signed a few players that I guess we needed them at that position more or less. But
I just
wondered if they, whoever they were, if they all, if they were worth it. Now, I forget who we signed that year.
I'd have to look up.
That's all. Sorry for giving you the headache. And
no, John, it's all good. Joe, there's no headache. But if you ask a question, just give me a second to give you an answer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess I'm Rammy. That's how I am.
No, Joe, it's all good. Thank you for calling, man. It's good to hear from you, pal.
All right, Joe. Appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate it. Look, I think you can easily go back and make the argument that, yeah, you wish you would have brought Joseph back. Hankins, again, I think can make you kind of forget that this year. But I also think if you sign Linval Joseph 2 years ago, you don't have Snacks Harrison.
Correct.
Because if you have Hankins on the roster with Joseph, you don't go out there and sign Damon Harrison.
Because of the money that you locked up. Now,
correct.
Just to go back to bring up Joe's point, in 2014, which was the offseason in which Linval Joseph signed with the Vikings, you brought in Rashad Jennings. You brought in DRC.
Starting running back, starting corner.
You brought in Walter Thurman.
Starting corner.
You brought in Robert Ayers.
Big-time defensive lineman.
See who else. You re-signed John Beeson.
Which in retrospect
didn't
work out.
But that's money that went towards that
right.
player, so you have to account for that. You brought in John Jerry. That wasn't necessarily a big financial splash. Other small ones, Ryan Mundy.
Jeff Schwartz was a big one.
Mundy left, excuse me. I take that back.
Jeff Schwartz was a big one.
Jeff Schwartz. That's another one as I go down this list. Quentin Demps, Trendon Holiday.
Oh, Trendon Holiday was a huge one.
A sleeper, unfortunately, got hurt. Those were the main ones. They also brought in Zach Bowman from the Bears. But in terms of your biggest investments, You obviously got to look at Schwartz. You have to look at Jennings. You have to look at DRC,
right.
Walter Thurman, Robert Ayers. Those were your most notable free agent additions back and forth.
But again, if you sign Joseph, though, you're not going out there and spending that money on Harrison this year. At least I don't think you would be.
I'd be surprised if they do that. And remember, it goes back to the track record.
Right.
Of the Giants having a free agent defensive tackle. Linval Joseph was a replacement, just like Jonathan Hankins was a replacement. So it didn't surprise me at the time because of the trend that took place at that position. You always want to have depth. You can't predict injuries. But I think if you go back and you take into consideration the players they brought in, even if they really wanted to retain Linval Joseph, I think it would have been challenging to do.
5 years, $31 million was the contract that he got from
Minnesota.
Years. Yeah.
So you got to go back and look at, obviously, what the financial breakdowns were for the Giants. I don't have all those numbers in front of me. But I think if you take into consideration the players they brought in and the amount of money that they spent, it would have been certainly a challenge.
But look, Linval is a good player. And I'm sure people would say, oh, yeah, if you have another really good player on the team, you'd love to have him here. But sometimes you have to make decisions based on the salary cap. They had a guy like Hankins in-house. And again, at the time, before they even hit free agency that year, you heard me. I made the argument. I think you can replace him with Hankins. I said that from the start. In retrospect, the way Joseph has improved now since he left, maybe you think twice about that. But at that time, before they even did anything, I was on board with what they did. So sometimes you're right. Sometimes maybe you're wrong. But again, we'll find out this year what Hankins can give you. And again, you have Harrison now too. So that'll mitigate not having him on the roster. 201-939-4513. Carlton in Harlem. Carlton, what's going on?
How you doing?
Doing great, Carlton. What's up, pal?
Good. I got a question and I got a couple of statements.
Yeah, bring it.
Carlton, right. Just real quickly, do you have us on speakerphone? If you could talk a little bit closer to the phone, I think that'd be great.
Okay, no problem.
Because we're in a little echoey type of sound. I don't know if we lost him in that process.
Carlton, are you there?
Yep. We apparently lost him. It was very echoey. So
Carlton, call us right
yes.
back. Get off the speakerphone and we'll put you right back up. All right? 201-939-4513. But that brings Shakes from Baltimore, Maryland, off the on-deck circle and into the batter's box. What's
all
up,
right,
Shakes?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, pal?
Wow. Come on, Joe. Let me finish.
Well, Shakes, if you ask a question, he went right. He asked a question. Then he went right into his next team, and I was just trying to answer the dude's question for him.
No, that was funny. That was pretty funny.
I love Joe to death, but come on.
Funny. Let me answer the question before I go on what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
I believe Landon Collins, even though I think both of them, Flowers and Collins, is going to take a significant jump, but I think Collins is going to take a even greater leap, should I say.
Why is that?
In a progression. Because, for one, he will have some guys next to him. Like, I'm hoping that Darren Thompson can show that he's NFL ready off the top, because I feel like that's the guy that can line people up back there. And the defensive backs, communication is so big, so big. So for somebody to line people up and get everybody on in the right spot, and then Landon Collins can just go ahead and do what he does best, and that's go in a box and just freelance and just do him and make a significant impact. So I think Landon Collins will make the biggest impact. I expect him to cause turnovers, get sacks, everything. I think
Shakes
going to get creative.
And you can throw it on top of this too. I mean, just go by the numbers. I mean, Darian Thompson, of the guys not named Landon Collins at the position, was the highest draft pick. So they clearly, based on where he was drafted, they had a higher grade on him in terms of round than the other guys. Thompson was a five. Burry was a five. Cooper Taylor was a five. Bennett Jackson, I think, was a six or a seven off the top of my head. So he was the highest draft pick. So theoretically, he has the most raw talent among the group. So I agree. It'd be great if in the year one he can figure out a way to get out there and do his thing. I think that'd be great. But remember, sometimes rookies take a little bit longer, so we'll have to wait and see.
No doubt. Also, I wanted to just give out a little dark horse that I'm kind of taking a light into. You remember I had, like, Mike, what was it, Charles James, cornerback?
Yeah, you did.
I was big on him, and I was like, I seen this kid from Stony Brook, he's good, and all this. This guy, Roger Lewis. And I heard he blew past the defensive back yesterday for a long touchdown. And I've been saying it since the undrafted when we brought him in. I'm like, this kid might be something. So we got a lot of wide receivers. Now, this is what I really wanted to touch on. Rashad Jennings. I want Rashad Jennings off this team.
And well, that's not going to happen.
just hear me out.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening.
We're all ears.
It's not because of talent, okay? It's just because I feel like he's in the way. And I feel like Andre Williams is the type of running back that he needs the ball in a rhythm. And he needs the ball around 15 to 20 times. And if you got a Rashad Jennings that needs the ball around 15, 20 times, I don't feel like you can have two guys that want the ball that much. Now, you have Williams there to get the majority of the snaps, and then you can sprinkle the Vereen and Perkins in, and then I really like Rainey. Like, I really like Rainey and what he can bring. Like, I've seen him run the ball in Tampa Bay. I had him in fantasy league, so I paid close attention to him.
Yeah, but Shakes, here's the one problem. Vereen, Rainey, and Perkins are all the same type of running back in that they're smaller, they're quicker, they can play on third downs. I think it's really hard to carry all three of those guys on the roster given their common skill sets. You know what I mean?
And Jennings is your biggest back. Remember that. You got to keep that in mind. And remember, you know, when he had volume, he was productive.
And frankly, he's also your best pass protector.
So you combine all of that, I think he has a tremendous amount of value, and that's more of a reason why you'd want to keep him around.
I tend to disagree. I think Vereen has a good pass protection. He can pick up the blitz as well as Williams can. I seen Perkins give effort there. So right there, I'm not worried about that. And as far as the three wide receivers go, I think that is perfect because for what Williams do, he can do a certain thing, and then the rest of the guys can do everything else. And especially Rainey because he can also do special teams. So we can get Harris some rest out there, some breathing out there. So that's just my four guys. I really just want Jennings to be off this team. I feel like he's in the way.
Weren't you a big Darko guy last year, Shakes? Or am I wrong about that?
No, I wasn't ready.
Okay,
to
fair enough.
I must Darko.
Okay.
Yeah, he was all right. Yeah, but also, I just wanted to say one last thing before I go.
Yes, sir.
I called here, what, 2-3 years ago? And y'all showed me nothing but hospitality, and y'all let me to do my own thing, do my show. So I just wanted to give appreciation to y'all and say thanks for the platform. And also shout-outs to all my Shakedown crew and all the listeners. We blowing up. We blowing up. We coming. Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
When I get out there, can you introduce me, brother? Can you introduce me to the know-whos?
Who are the know-whos? What are you talking about?
All your peoples. All your peoples in the inner circle.
Of course. If you, Shakes, if you come out, we were waiting for your crew to come out last summer. It never happened.
I know. But this year, we coming.
All right. If you're coming this year to training camp, me and Lance will make sure we come over there. We'll throw Paul Dottino at you, and we'll say hello, all right?
You can talk to him as long as you'd like, Shakes.
Okay. All right. So can I just one thing?
Yeah, real quick.
For all the guys that don't know about this show, we are on Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 929-477-2686. Y'all call in whenever y'all want to. Appreciate you, John and Lance.
All right,
and I'm out. Thank
all right, Trace.
Thanks, man. And we appreciate you being a loyal listener and a good caller.
Yes, indeed.
201.
And plug as well.
939-4513. We couldn't have stopped it if we wanted.
No, you can't miss out on a golden opportunity.
No, absolutely not. Yes. Let's go back to Carlton. He's calling us back. Carlton, what's up, pal? How are you?
Hey, how you doing? That's not just my fault. I just got disconnected.
Nah, it's all good, man. No worries.
All right. My first question is, who's a better fit for Spags' defense, middle linebacker, Keenan Robinson or Jasper Brinkley?
Well, Brinkley's been getting a lot of the first-team reps. He's been extremely vocal over these first 2 days of OTAs from what I've seen, and he clearly flourished last season when he came in after John Beeson got hurt. And remember, he joined the team right before the start of the regular season. I haven't seen enough of Keenan Robinson on the field to make a judgment that he's not a good fit for the system.
I agree.
So to answer your question, Colton, I can only go by what I saw last season and what I've seen on the field thus far. Jasper Brinkley's got more reps under his belt. But the conversation is going to go a long way over the next few weeks once Keenan Robinson gets more and more reps.
And Carlton, real quick, based on what I've seen of the guys and things like that, Brinkley better against the run, Robinson a little bit more athletic, better against the pass.
Okay. All right, now a couple of statements. Definitely about the last caller, about Rashad Jennings. I agree. Like, I like Rashad Jennings, but I just think he's, like, taking up some of the running backs that need to be carried. Like, I'm a big Darkwood fan. I think he has speed, power. I think he elusive, and he's just a real all-around back. He also plays special team. I don't understand, like, can he snatch the number one running back position in training camp?
I think that would be a pretty big challenge, considering there's a lot of talent also on this roster. And, you know, Carlton, when you say that, and you're the second caller, because Shakes also brought this up about Jennings, you know, standing in the way. If Jennings is the most productive running back, he's not standing in the way of anybody. You put him out on the field. So I don't look at it that Jennings is denying anybody else an opportunity. It's that when they've evaluated the talent, Jennings is by far the most productive back when it comes to pass protection, running, and also what he could give you as a receiver. Therefore, he deserves and he's earned those spots, as opposed to saying, well, we removed Jennings just to make it easier on another running back a little bit lower on the depth chart. I don't think that's good for your team. You want to promote competition. The more guys you have, it's easier to see who truly is the most versatile back.
I agree. I mean, like I said, I don't dislike Jennings. Is that when you look at the tape last year, Jennings is kind of slow, just hitting the holes. Darkwood is a little bit more faster. He's just as big and just as fast. And I know Jennings is a good pass protector, but Darkwood is a good pass protector too. So I don't understand, like, why they don't, like, give him, like, give him that, like, 15, 20 carries and see what he can do.
Well, I think Jennings has obviously a stronger resume.
Thanks
when
for the call,
Carlton. From that perspective. And
your line's really noisy. We got a lot of background noise there, pal.
But thanks for chiming in. Darkwa had that impressive game last season against the Dallas Cowboys. That's the game that jumps out to me. He came in, he provided a surge, and he certainly exploded into the end zone. Jennings got hot late last season. He started to gain rhythm, so he showed you a little something there. You know, it was very up and down when you evaluate the running game last year as a whole. I don't necessarily think, you know, anyone in particular was like, wow, you know, this is definitely going to be the workhorse moving forward. But, you know, Dark will remember he's banged up right now. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been on the side like Victor Cruz. So, you know, that at least puts him a step back in terms of the evaluation period. There's not nearly as much of a sample size for him as there are with some of these other running backs.
And remember, in the preseason, folks, you don't need to put Rashad Jennings out there a lot. I mean, you know he knows his stuff. You get him out there as much as he needs to be ready for the season. Same for Shane Vereen. It's not like he needs a lot of reps here. So I think you're going to get a lot of Bobby Rainey in the summer. You're going to get a lot of Paul Perkins in the summer. You're going to get a lot of Orleans Darkwa in the summer. And you're going to get a lot of Andre Williams in the summer. Because the same way the fans are trying to figure it out, I think they're trying to figure out who the last two running backs on this roster are going to be. And the only way you figure that out is by getting them a lot of looks in games. So I think you'll see those guys get plenty of opportunities in the preseason to get on the field and show the coaching staff what they can do.
And that makes perfect sense. You want to get Paul Perkins a lot of looks, too. You know, he's a name we haven't really talked about much. And
that's because he's not here.
Correct. Keep in mind, and I don't know if, you know, the fan base is aware of this, it's similar to, I don't want to say it's the exact circumstance, but, John, if you recall a few years ago, Adrian Robinson from Cincinnati. Right. He had to finish his academic curriculum. He stayed behind at school. He didn't join the team until, I want to say, actually in training camp.
Yeah, because they do
his
three,
was a little bit later.
Because they're one of those schools that do like the four semesters instead of three, right? So their summer, their spring session runs a lot longer.
Now with Perkins, he's missing OTAs, but he's expected to rejoin the team by their minicamp in a few weeks in mid-June.
Mandatory minicamp
compared to now, which is voluntary. So that'll be a little bit different, but, you know, once again, it's valuable time in the classroom, on the field, and so forth. So he's going to have some catching up to do, just like Adrian Robinson needed a few years ago.
201-939-4513. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Just pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. DraftKings.com. Promo code CONTACT. Claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Free to play. Charlie is in Portland, Maine. How you doing, Charlie?
Back-to-back days from Charlie.
Oh, he called yesterday, too, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, boy. You actually have enough thoughts, Charlie, to do back-to-back
days? Are you kidding me? Him lacking thoughts?
My heart soars like a hawk to speak to you both again at the same time.
If you bring up Schrader, the offensive lineman from the Falcons, Dominic's going to hang up on you.
All right.
Schrader, how did that conversation? You know what? I don't even want to know. I don't even know why.
I want to just talk about just quickly.
Yeah.
When you're always talking about the Joseph situation and the Hankins situation, the thing is, we always need two defensive tackles, not one. We're not a 3-4. We let Joseph go. We did sign Snacks, but Snacks cost us a lot more money than if we had kept Joseph in the first place.
And that's fair.
All right?
That's fair. That's fair, Charlie. I can't argue that. That's fair.
And, hey, I would love, John, if you would please do an interview with Pepe Le Pew. I'd love to hear what he's about, you know, how he's feeling.
Dobler you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's nice that you have so much respect that you actually refer to him by his real name, Charlie. Very nice.
But I think it would be great.
The Anthony, French connection.
Isn't his first name Anthony?
I understand. Yes, his first name is Anthony, yes.
You know, Charlie, I thought that you were at the maturation process where you don't watch cartoons anymore. So, you know, little did I know.
So
I gave you the benefit of the doubt, apparently.
I want to figure this out. So if Dabo is Pepe Le Pew, I guess Lance would be like Speedy Gonzalez, right?
You're feeding into the beast. This is what you want to do. You're giving him exactly what he wants on this program.
Charlie would be Foghorn Leghorn, you figure, right? I think that sounds about right.
He's whatever you want to call him, to be honest with you. I could throw a few other names out here. I'm holding back.
And of course, Paul Dottino will be the Tasmanian devil.
Yes.
Because he, you know, runs around like a lunatic.
Fitting. Yes, correct.
Definitely Tasmanian devil, for sure. Hey, but.
Isaac could be Yosemite Sam.
If you can do that, that would be great. I'd love to hear from this guy. See where his head's at.
All right. I will effort by the end of this spring or summer to get an interview up there with Mr. Dabble, all right?
All right. That's great.
Charlie's my producer now.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, you guys have been watching the OTAs, right?
Yeah. Two of them so far.
All right.
Very exciting.
how is – I know there's not much to see in the offensive line, but
yeah.
what are they doing? I mean, is Stingley even in, like, the third – tier of people, or is he getting a shot at right tackle? Or
I have not seen Stingley with the ones. Hart has been mostly, like Lance said, with the twos. Honestly, I have not seen where they've put Stingley yet. When they're on the field on Thursday, Charlie, just for you, I'll see where they have Stingley.
All right. I mean, so basically our number one right tackle is still Newhouse.
Newhouse, yes, and then Hart is being mixed in and out with the ones as well.
Yeah, and I think you're totally right on this, John. I mean, I think people overblowing Hart. I mean, he's a seventh-round draft pick. He played, what, one game last year? And and we're already like, this guy is going to be a great right tackle. Well, he should be able to beat out Newhouse, for God's sakes. But if he can't do that, that tells me something about him. So I'm still hoping that we get somebody after the June 1st cuts, because I think we really need to get somebody on the right side. But what are they doing for center? What happened to the Canadian Mounted Police star?
The Mountie.
Center?
You want to go Mountie?
The Mountie.
All right. Brett Jones is now the Mountie, according to Charlie. I believe he's been with the third team, if I'm not mistaken.
Third team?
I think so,
because Adam Geddes has seen some work at center as well.
Right?
Oh, my God.
You know what, Charlie? Don't quote me on that. I think Geddes is two and Jones is three. I'm honestly not positive. That was my impression watching the last couple days. But I got to be honest, I did not keep a running depth chart of who's on the second and third team at center. So,
it's important to note, as I mentioned, even with the first team, with Hart moving in and out, the second and the thirds, you know, they're interchangeable at this pace.
They really are. On both sides.
Yeah, on defense too. I mean, as I mentioned, I've seen Darian Thompson with the ones, but he's been a slot corner. On the ones. He hasn't been a safety. So they're moving guys in and out with respective positions. Even if you saw one down with Ben Jones with the twos, doesn't mean he's necessarily the number two center. And at this point, there is no depth chart that exists.
And by the way,
because they have time to go till they actually fill that out.
Charlie, and I'm not saying you were the ones that you were one of the people doing this, because I frankly don't remember, but when everybody was, you know, kind of losing their minds over Brett Jones last year, I tried to temper that too. So People get these young guys here and they're like, oh man, he was a Pro Bowler in Canada. He's a Pro Bowler in Canada. Fantastic. That doesn't mean he's going to be a Pro Bowler in the United States. So you develop him. You hope he becomes a player. You see some skills there you like. He's a great kid. He works his rear end off. He's a great worker. Yeah. You can't ask for a guy that tries harder or is more cerebral. He's really smart. He's from, you know, nice kid. But let's see if he can play. And he'll have an opportunity to show it. Yeah.
Well, the thing is no – the one statistic that is telling, there's been no – Canadian football player, not from the United States, but a Canadian football player ever made a team as an offensive lineman in the NFL.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know that stat, to be honest with you.
Yeah. There was one guy, and he was on the bench, and he was on the practice squad, but never played. So
well, Charlie,
it's a hard transition.
Well, I was just going to give you credit for what you brought up yesterday. I mean, you were the first one to note because of where they line up in the CFL compared to where they line up in the NFL. So, I mean, I think that's a very fair point, and that probably explains why the number is so low. That transition is not as easy as most people think.
Exactly. So, anyway, just give us updates on who's doing great and somebody surprising you who is, like, really playing well and – that will be nice to hear. So thanks, John. Thanks, Lance.
You got it,
Charlie. Thank you,
Charlie.
And we have one more OTA this week. That's Thursday. Then we don't have another OTA until next Tuesday. Because we have Memorial Day. Office is closed, and the players are off on Friday and Monday. And then on Tuesday, the Giants have their golf outing. So they will be out at the country club to support the Giants Foundation. That'll be on Tuesday, and then they'll do OTAs. I believe, Dave, OTAs are next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, right? I think they have three next week all in a row, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then they have their four the final week, and that'll be 10 total. Yeah, that makes sense. And then they have minicamp the following week. So that's kind of how the
next
2 weeks are
going to go. Yeah, minicamp, I believe, is the 14th through the 16th of June.
It's the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, second or third week of June.
Well, that's definitely the 14th, 15th,
third week 16th. Of June. Third week of June, right, exactly. So there you have it, 201-939-4513. Well, we got all the old timers today. We had Shakes, we have Charlie, we had Joe. Now we got Stas out in Washington. What's up, Stas?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Doing great, Stas. What's happening, man? We got all the old school dudes today.
I know. Hey, man, my daughter's about to get drafted. 14 years.
Nice.
I sent you that clip of her. I'll tell you a funny story. She played NFL Play 60 this year, and you know it's a lottery for the teams that they pick. Like, you can't pick. I want to play in the Giants. Well, she got put on the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, no, Stas.
I know, but this is what's cool. This is why I give my daughter a lot of respect. When the coach handed her jersey, she grabbed it with two fingers like it was a dirty rag, and she said, I'm not wearing this. I had to buy her a New York Giants Under Armour shirt so she could put a jersey on.
So she wouldn't have to put it on her body. Well, Stas, you should be a proud parent because she's following the footsteps of you, so that's at least a positive.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I'm not mad at all. But so I have something to say, and I got a pretty bold prediction. Well, not a bold prediction. I think it's pretty realistic. I think most people are sleeping on it. But
do you want me to put this on the board, Stas? Do you want me to put this on the board? All right.
I want this on the board. Okay. So here's the bold prediction. What I predict is that between the three receivers on the field, obviously, you know, provided everyone stays healthy. Just between the three receivers, Eli Manning goes for 3,250 between the three receivers.
So the Giants' top three receivers will have more than
3,250 combined.
Okay.
And the reason why I think that is because even though I know a lot of people are worried about the offensive line, I'm worried about the right side. I am. I think Ben McAdoo, the difference between Ben McAdoo and Tom Coughlin is going to be. I think Ben McAdoo is going to start doing a lot of the short routes, like what you saw like the Niners do back in like the 80s, where they would do those quick dump routes and screen passes, and that was pretty much their running game.
They were already doing that last year, Stas.
You saw that with Shane Vereen.
I think it's going to be even more. I think what we did with Shane Vereen last year was limited. I think we're going to see a lot more Shane Vereen in the backfield doing those kind of moves, and that's going to supplement the rugby running game. I think and I think we're only going to kind of do, like, power, you know, short line go to, like, first, you know, no, a third and one type stuff. I don't see us really leaning on the run. Even though we went away from it a lot last year, I think I'm sad to say because I love running. I think we're going to go away from it a little more. I think it's going to really open things up to Eli. I think the Giants go 11-5. I was looking at the schedule. I think they go 11-5. I think it's very possible. And then I looked back at last year, and it was five games that we blew in the last 90 seconds, five different games. That was situational football, five, you know, either the defense didn't get us, we had a couple of timeout, you know, hiccups. I didn't go 11-5. I think the team is better set than most people think. My biggest concern actually isn't the offensive line. My biggest concern is linebacker. I think linebacker, we really, I mean, I like Jasper Brinkley. I think he did a pretty good job last year towards the end when he came on. But I just feel like we have so many question marks across the linebacking board that I think that's going to really hurt us. And the guy we brought in from the Redskins, you know, if he stays healthy, he's a stud. But that's if he stays healthy. And with the Giants' luck on health, like, I don't want to roll the dice and say he is. I think more than right tackle, I think linebacker, we need to make sure we try to get in a veteran during camp or something to help boost to that. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I think they got a number of guys in the mix at middle linebacker. I mean, Kelvin Shepard's another guy. He's a veteran. He's not a youngster. And you have some of the outside guys that can be moved into the middle. When you look at the linebacking core, I think they have a lot of options right now, Stas. The question is, you know, who's going to merge? Who's going to stand out? But keep this in mind. While the linebackers are so important to stopping the run, your defensive line, at least on paper, is a lot different than where it was last year. And Damon Harrison and Hankins should help in stopping the run just as much as you're expecting the linebackers to chip in. You know, that's a key part. If your defensive line can make contact, that's going to slow down the run more so than waiting for the linebackers to fill all those holes.
Yeah,
you know, you're right. But like, I'm not really concerned about them in the run. I'm more worried about them in the pass. Like, I feel like we were scorched over the middle. That short tight ends eat our lunch all the time. I don't know who we have that's a linebacker that can cover, you know, that's going to cover, that's not always going to be put on a mismatch. That's my worry. Because, honestly, I think the addition of Snacks Harrison, I think that's going to be the biggest difference. I think people are sleeping on this guy. Like, he did it. They said he didn't make the top 100. But if he was Pro Football Focus ranked number one against the run for as far as defensive tackles go, and then you put him next to big boy Hankins, like, it's going to be hard to run on us. And Olivier Vernon was really good against the run. I'm more concerned about our linebackers and coverage. That's what I'm concerned about.
That's fair. Thanks, Stas. Appreciate the call, my friend.
When you look at the tight ends and how much trouble that gave the Giants. But remember, you know, sometimes you usually use a safety or a corner maybe on a tight end, not necessarily a linebacker, especially if you don't think that linebacker has versatility.
Yeah.
It's going to vary.
Quite frankly, there aren't many linebackers in the league that can cover tight ends one-on-one anymore.
So if anything,
doesn't happen.
So based on Stas's point, it's more intriguing to see what happens with respect to the slot corner / safety who can cover more so than maybe what the linebackers do there.
But you need them in zone. On
you
those
do. No, you absolutely need them. You want guys that can run east and west. And, you know, Kennard was banged up last year. If he could stay healthy, you know, he's a guy that certainly can run sideline to sideline. JT Thomas is another player who, you know, we didn't really talk much about last season. Now that he's going to be year two in the system, let's see how he comes along. You know, there's options there. You just need to see a little bit more substance out of this group.
Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want. With no season-long commitment, go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Len in Columbia, Maryland will wrap us up. Len, how are you, sir?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well, Len. How's things with
good,
you?
Good, good. Listen, first thing, I like the new lead-in to the show.
Thank you.
We did need to do some updating there, but I think it's good.
Good
job, whoever put that together.
Yeah, that was our good buddies, Mike Becton and Matt Swenson, our editing department. They did a great job, and they was long in coming. We were bugging them for a while, and now we have it.
See, Len, good. I always thought you were a listener, not a viewer. I'm pleasantly surprised that you're actually on top of some of the technological aspects of the show.
Well, there's some time, and Lance, I know you were on one time with Paul. I was trying to call you from my phone. Oh, I did call you from my phone where I couldn't get a look at you. I had you on the Bluetooth.
Correct, exactly.
Talking to you as I was
that, driving
along. Listen, I wanted to talk about this June 1 cut idea. You know, I'm not so sure. I think the rules have been loosened up to the point where a team doesn't need to wait to June 1.
Len, you are absolutely right.
To release somebody.
You're absolutely right, and we've said this before. I didn't say it today when the caller previously brought it up. You're absolutely right. You don't actually have to wait till June 1st now.
Yeah.
You can cut a guy in March and designate him a June 1st cut. So you're right. You know, You could have nobody get cut loose in a week, to be quite honest
with
you.
Well, I think that's what's going to be happening. There's nobody. We keep talking about these June 1 cuts. Whoever was going to get cut on June 1 has already been cut.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
There just isn't going to be anybody out there.
I agree with you.
And you know, from the standpoint of the offense, I want to say something about the offensive line. Let me, you know, put in my two cents about this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think from the standpoint of NFL caliber players, I think the offensive line, not just on our team, I think around the league, and I'd love to know David Deal's take on this. I think that's the weakest position. You know, we got six guys, and I'm going to throw Hart in there because, you know, maybe it's I haven't seen that much of him. He didn't do much, but from what David has said about him and what some other people have said about him, I'm going to include him in my six.
That's fine.
I think we got six offensive linemen on this team right now. If they were cut tomorrow, they would all find work in the NFL within 48 hours. Three of them would probably find starting positions, and the other three, maybe a starting position. You know, John Jerry might find a starting position somewhere. I mean, the depth is awful.
Well, Len, that's true.
My point is, that's true of every team in the NFL.
Well, I was going to say,
bemoaning the fact that there's a lack of depth on the Giants and the offensive line. Oh, Charlie, and I like Charlie's take on things. He knows a lot of stuff, and I really like his take on things. Yeah, there's a lack of depth. But everybody's got a lack. I mean, the offensive line, I mean, some of these guys are marginal at best, not just on our team, all over the league.
No, look, Len, I agree.
Len, I agree.
That's okay. Real quick, I think you're right. I don't think the offensive line depth around the league is great as like it used to be. I don't think you have those guys coming out of college because of the spread offenses. But at the same time, let's not throw a party that if you cut one of your starters that he's going to get picked up by another team. Ideally, if you have a guy starting on your offensive line, he should be on a roster of another NFL team around the league.
He's going to be interest elsewhere.
That is not a significant accomplishment.
I think this time last year, I think we only had three, and we had to fill in around them. I mean, Newhouse has shown us enough that he belongs in the league. Now I know. I'd like to upgrade there, but we're not going to have a potential All Pro at every position on this team.
Well, Len, in fairness, though, I mean, you made the comparison between the offensive line now and last year. I mean, weren't technically the same guys in the mix at this time last year? Plus, you had Will Beattie, too, on the roster. So, if anything, I would argue you may have even had more options at this time last year if you're going
to
make that comparison. Because
well,
Jerry
I,
and Newhouse were in-house.
That,
they were here.
But you may be remembering better than I'm remembering about last year. But I'm not as down and worried about the offensive line as a lot of people are. I think we got six guys there who we can build around, and you know, some of them performed pretty well last year, and I think these are NFL caliber players. I mean, we're not sending guys out there who don't belong in this league. I mean, these guys can play in the NFL.
Is it
the weakest unit on the team? Well, half of it is perhaps on the right side, but I don't know how we improve. I mean, we were going to try to do it in drafting Conklin. I think that's where we were going, and you know, we didn't get Conklin. But I'm hoping and wishing maybe more than knowing because I'm not an offensive line specialist. But I think it's going to be okay. And I think Jerry, what did somebody say yesterday? We were eighth in sacks?
Yesterday I looked at the numbers. The Giants were tied for the fourth lowest amount of sacks allowed.
Well, there you go.
The
there you go. I mean, that's not a bad stat, you know, as a starting point.
Of course.
Well, Lance, this also came up yesterday in your discussion with your partner, Anita.
Finish up, Len. We got to run.
Okay. You know, getting more out of Shane Vereen. You know, I'd like to see the Shane Vereen of the Super Bowl, you know, the Patriots 2 years ago, 11 catches, yardage on the ground. I mean, best player on the field. I know the defensive back made the big interception at the end, and, you know, you got the great Tom Brady back there. But Shane Vereen pushed the Patriots to that Super Bowl win. He had a fantastic game. When we signed him, I thought, that's the Shane Vereen we're getting. But, you know, who do you take plays away from if you try to get that out of Shane Vereen? I mean, who's not getting the ball? Odell?
Well,
Shepard?
You're probably limiting the targets for your wide receivers. I mean, if you go real quickly through the game log from last season, Lent, there were games. I remember the San Francisco game in particular where Shane Vereen did a lot of damage. He had 8 catches for 86 yards. He had 3 catches on that last touchdown drive to Larry Donnell. And then there were other games against Atlanta. He had 8.
Right.
He had an 8-catch game against the Saints. That was an offensive clinic, though, for both teams.
Right.
He had 8 against Carolina.
I'll take that year again out of Shane Vereen. The only thing I want him to do that he didn't do last year, and then I know you're getting to the end of the show, but let me just say, the only thing he didn't do, he catches that ball on the first drive of that Thanksgiving weekend game in Washington. If it doesn't bounce off his hands for an interception, the Giants win that football game.
No, they could. You're right. And that was a bad drop. Len, appreciate the call, my man.
Thank you.
All right,
Len.
And, you know, we had someone on Twitter, @TagRocket, say unhappy with Vereen last year. You know, I don't really understand, Lance, why people think Vereen had a disappointing year. He had the second most rushing yards of his career. He had the second highest yards per carry of his career. He had the most receptions in his career. He had the most targets in his career. He had the most receiving yards in his career. He had the most receiving touchdowns in his career. Where's the bad season? I don't understand. He had a better receiving year than he's ever had, period. Why did he not do enough? I don't get it. He was targeted 81 times as a running back. How many times do you want to throw the guy the damn ball? You have Odell Beckham out there.
The only thing.
You've thrown 100 times?
No, I agree with you, John. Listen, I've been saying that left and right. I mean, the only argument that I think has some substance is you could say, if anything, from last year, there's an opportunity to use him even more. I mean, you mentioned the targets. I'm just talking about if I did the law of average. You know, you had some games where he only had 1 catch, and then you had some games where he had 8.
Yeah, but that
you
happens,
could probably
though.
Even that out. It does happen.
So, for example, like the one game, what was it, against the Jets, I think it was?
Jets,
he only had two catches.
Yeah.
And then he only had 1 against the Dolphins. The reason he didn't have a lot of catches in those games is because the Jets and the Dolphins blitz so much, they had to leave him into the backfield to pass protect. And sometimes what the opposition will do will dictate what you have to do on offense. And if they blitz a lot, you need Vereen to block. So you have to keep him in. It happens.
Well, and the other aspect is they actually ran the football quite well in both of those games, too. So they weren't necessarily having to rely on the quick dump-offs.
Most receptions in his career, most targets in his career, most receiving yards in his career, most receiving touchdowns in his career. What the hell else do you want?
I think they got plenty out of Shane Vereen. Once again, you just want him to continue to build off of that.
Right.
I mean, that should be the goal moving forward.
I mean, I don't know if I can find this real quick before I say goodbye. Let me see if I can find this real fast here. I'm going to see if I can find total targets for running backs. Let me see if I can find
Where
this.
They rank in terms of the rest of the league?
Yeah, I'm curious.
I'll see if I can find that as well.
If I can find that. If they have leaders according to targets in terms of passing game. Receiving. Oh, I might be able to find this. Hold on. Here we go. Got it. Shane Vereen had the 4th most targets of any running back in the NFL last year. He was targeted 74 times. The only guys targeted more than him were Danny Woodhead, who had 96, Theo Riddick, who had 94, and Devontae Freeman, who had 92. He had more targets than Darren Sproles did, than Giovanni Bernard did, than Mark Ingram, than Matt Forte, one of the best receiving running backs in the history of football, more than DeMarco Murray. I mean, guys.
Some of those guys were hurt, but still.
That's a lot of targets. I mean, he was 5th in receptions. He was 6th in yards. I mean, it's not like he wasn't used. He was tied for 2nd in receiving touchdowns. I don't know what else you want. I don't know how many more catches and targets you want to give the guy. You know, and he might get more. Odell Beckham Jr. out there. He's going to get 160, 170 targets in a season.
Of course, yeah. And you don't want to be
many balls to go around.
You don't want to be a one-dimensional offense, too, in terms of the passing game. You can't just constantly dump it off. You got to take your fair shots down the field.
And by the way, he's not every down back. You know, Rashad Jennings is a good receiver out of the backfield. He's going to get some targets, too.
You don't happen to have how many snaps he played last season. I'd be interested, just real quickly.
How many snaps do you think
Shane Vereen played? Well, snaps in terms of versus targets, because then that, John, to me, is an indication that of the limited times he was on the field, they were maximizing his usage by actually targeting.
Well, let me give you an example. Some of the players that had more targets than him, just for an example, Devontae Freeman had 92 targets in 774 snaps. Shane Vereen had – where's Vereen? I had him a second ago, and I lost him. Well, just again, Vereen, Freeman had 774 snaps, 92 targets, okay? The other guy in that list was Danny Woodhead. He had 616 snaps and 96 targets. Theo Riddick had 482 snaps and 94 targets. Shane Vereen had just 439 snaps, fewer than everybody on that list, and he had 74 targets. So he probably had more targets per snap than Freeman, and him and Woodhead are probably close.
Well, see, that to me is a good indication in terms of that spells out usage for you right there.
Thank you. Snaps versus targets. Great point.
Forget the receptions and everything else. The times he was on the field, they weren't just holding him out there for a distraction. They were actually having him involved in the play and so forth. So that just goes to show you they plan on using him, and you hope you can get similar production out of him this season.
Meadow and Anita tomorrow, the defensive coordinator from Clemson, give you a take on B.J. Goodson. Then we're back with you on Thursday. And just another reminder, no show Friday or Monday for Memorial Day. So we'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. Everybody, thanks for joining us and being part of the show. We'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Have a good one.